Hi, this is John Bartlett, co-host of the Shofar Ministries Hour, and I want to tell you about Mullet Masonry. Working with either brick, block, or stone, their work is impeccable, earning them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, they do great work, they're affordable, and they're very nice as well. Need a free estimate? Call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep Shofar Ministries on the air. So be sure to tell Chad you heard about him right here on WHKW Christian Radio. Listen to the show later this week at shofarministries.net and take some notes, because every program has good insights that you will want to remember for your knowledge enhancement that God expects of his body, us, the church, to pursue with diligence. For total sanctification of spirit, soul, and even flesh. So only archived, though, or only achieved through time spent in God's Word, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to spend some very quality time in God's Word, but we're going to open up with a prayer today. Father, we thank you for your Shabbat and all of your holy appointments that you have given to us, partially and importantly as pictures, to see your plan. And please open our ears so we can hear what you're saying to us from your Word today as our teacher, the Reverend Sheila Crawford, is expounding today. We do have prayer requests. We lift them up to you. One is for Jane. Father, we ask that you cause her treatment to work well and fast, because we need Jane. She plays an important part in Shofar Ministries. And also, we lift up Mary to you, and we just ask that her broken foot, you would help heal it quickly. And all the others that have sent in requests today, we just Father, we humbly lift these up to you, because we know that you not only hear us, but you do love us, and we always get answers when we pray to you, especially for healing, but for a lot of other things too. So we thank you, and we welcome the Holy Spirit in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John. And Shabbat Shalom to you, too. And Baruch Atah Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, spring is upon us, and that brings the spring feasts of the Lord, which are three. And we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to see how Jesus literally fulfilled the spring feast. In fact, we'll probably be talking about it today, next week, and the week after that.
Yes, this is the season, as they say.
That's right. And I wanted to mention, too, how during prayer we ask for God's healing and speedy recovery, and I praise God that he is really the healer, isn't
mm-hmm.
he?
Yes, yes.
But I want to point out one thing, too, that we are living in the last days when diseases are going to be more plentiful. It talks about in Revelation the pests and all those little bugs that are going to come around, and we're already seeing foreshadows of that today. A lot more people are getting more bugs. So I believe that although God is the Almighty Healer, he also gives us ways in which we are to heal. He'll tell us things to do. And I remember that when my husband got cancer, he was very specific to my spirit. Didn't speak out loud to me. I don't want people to get that impression. But to my spirit, he said to actually change our eating habits and to eat better and to take in nutrition with vitamins and minerals. And I'm reminded in the Bible, too, how Elisha told Naaman to go into the water, but he said dip seven times.
Mm-hmm.
So there was an organized way of doing it. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes it was right on the spot healing as well as Jesus, but sometimes it was like Naaman. He actually
he was Naaman, a leper, right?
And... Naaman was the leper, but the one that was blind from birth.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure his name now, but I think it's in John 9 somewhere where he told him. He took clay of the earth and mixed it with his saliva and then put it on his eyes and then told him to go wash. And remember that we need three things. We need Jesus first,
But
then we need the washing of the water of the word to help heal us.
Right.
Okay, and that's where the water comes in. But it's interesting that he actually put dirt on his eyes. And it wasn't until recently that I realized that that's a type or a picture of, first of all, where do we get all our minerals and nutrients? It's from the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
It's from the clay. And all the minerals actually come from rock and clay and that. So perhaps he was saying, add good nutrition to your body. You know, if we're out there eating all these fatty, sugary, high doughy, white flour, all that bad carb stuff, and we constantly eat that stuff, and then we say, well, Lord, heal me, because we get diabetes and obesity and all that stuff. When he's saying, you know, put the clay in there or take some minerals, take some nutrients and eat better.
Right.
Then you'll be healed. And I think that's a lesson for all of us as Christians, because it's to the Christians that are really hearing this.
Yes.
More than anybody.
Yeah.
Okay. So please, if you're out there listening and you really are, you know, overweight or you're suffering from, you know, sore ankles or whatever, because you're, you know, getting a problem with diabetes or whatever, change your eating habits, add some nutrients, and I believe that's right from the Lord.
I believe that is too. Okay, now a reminder of our calendar webpage, shofarministries.net, where events are posted or biblical questions can be emailed, or you can call Sheila as well and leave a detailed message, and she will be sure to get back to you. We will be opening up the phone lines later in this hour for your questions or comments about today's program or any end time question that you may have.
Hey, John, how would you like to do the news?
Well, I never get a chance to do the news. And I said I did tell you I was feeling a little newsy today.
I think so.
Well, here's some news that particularly relates to the last days that we live in and the building of the third temple, which is definitely going to have to be in place during the tribulation time.
Because the Bible says so.
Because the Bible says so. Now, on a rooftop in the Jewish quarter of the old city of Jerusalem and overlooking the Temple Mount is a newly constructed temple model built on a scale of 1 to 60, weighing over 1 ton for the purpose of teaching the Jewish people their biblical heritage, as well as introducing to all non-Jews a worship center that will one day stand on the Temple Mount. And to teach those qualified to work at the coming temple, it will also train Jews to worship as their forefathers did some 2,000 years ago. So here it's used for training, and it's also used to get interest, to build the interest of the Jewish people into the temple. I mean, they, like it said in the video that Ray gave us, that one of the fellows said that the temple was made, or David said, here I sit in one of the Psalms, where do you tell me? First Kings, I think. But here I sit, and I've got a house, a real nice mansion, but there's no house for the ark. For God. And that's when he decided it was time to build a temple. And I think that's happening all over again in Israel. They say they've been here, they've been in the land for since 1948, and it's been 60 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to...
Well, they know it's going to happen. They know what the Old Testament says. But I think it's interesting that not only is there a smaller model, but the actual life size is being built down in Jericho, prefab, so that it can be one day moved to the Temple Mount, and they can get that temple up in a very short period of time, I would think months.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And the ground's already broken, and that is under construction as we speak. This model that you're talking about, it's made of gold and silver wood,
The smaller one.
Oh, the smaller one. Okay. The larger one, the prefab one, is near Jericho. Now, what they're doing there is they're building that expressly for the purpose of training the Levites.
Right. They'll have the sacrifices.
They'll have the sacrifice, I mean, to scale, and they need to figure out how are we going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So they're real serious about that.
I know. It's so exciting. I just love it. And you know what? I visited the Holy Land Experience a couple weeks ago. No, it was last, I don't know when it was. Very short.
In Florida, right?
In Florida. It was just maybe last week. I don't know. Time goes by so fast. But what's interesting is that they actually had the temple built to scale, at least the front of it with the steps and everything, all of gold, you know. And I remember walking around the corner, and then all of a sudden there it was, and it's breathtaking.
Yes.
Now, it didn't have anything after that. It was like a theater, but you could see all the outside of it.
Wow.
It was pretty amazing, and it is. It doesn't get you excited. I mean, if you don't get excited, people, to see all these things happening, then I don't know where you're at, but Jesus is coming soon. Praise God.
Praise God. And I was going to mention something about the hydraulic system for the ark, but we could do that maybe at another point, maybe later.
Well, I think interesting that even
Solomon's temple had, in the Holy of the Holies, where the ark rested, that floor, actually a stone floor, dropped and was and then replaced, and then another stone floor appeared in its place.
Mm-hmm.
So they could hide the ark and protect it at any time, and that was all done with hydraulics.
Amazing.
So there's some pretty neat – the counterweights, I'll tell you this much, the counterweights for the hydraulic system that moved the floor, all this heavy weight, were hidden in the two
poles.
The
pillars.
Two pillars
okay,
that you see
it.
In the front. So that's a real neat thing. But meanwhile, I want to talk a little bit about the so-called peace talks between the United States and
stalled
Israel.
Peace
yes,
talks.
And they're stalled. And what it boils down to is that the U.S. and Israel want promises from each other that neither one are willing to make.
Preconditions.
And for the United States, tougher sanctions against Iran and specifics with Russia and China. For Israel, more land concessions for a Palestinian state. Okay.
What else is
there? No surprise there, okay?
But both want the other to go first.
Right,
preconditions.
Yeah. And now to top it off, well, we know our Vice President Biden was there, and while he was there, I think they made the announcement mm-hmm. that they were going to start 1,600 new homes in Jerusalem in a place where they've already they're already allowed to build anyway because it's
there. They are, but, you know, and Ian, who has said a couple of times, well, we'll stop, you know, building. But
of course, Vice President Biden denounced Israel for that.
Mad.
Of course, he ended up leaving on bad terms. So that's where we leave it. But, you know, every time we divide up God's land there, especially his city in Jerusalem, it brings judgment.
I know.
I've seen it time and time and again.
And there's a book written on about that, too. But, again, this is part of it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that all nations will come against Israel, and that means the United States, too. And I can see that happening now, especially with the new administration. I mean, it's pretty obvious, actually.
Well, let's go to something happier.
Yes.
We're going to be doing the Spring Feast, and specifically the one we're talking about is the one that falls in the month, on the biblical calendar, the month of Nisan or Aviv. And this is the Passover.
It is.
And this is a very interesting, and talk about pictures.
Yeah, oh my.
The Passover is the Feast of First Fruits. Just some amazing pictures here.
Amen. I'm going to read some scripture. We're going to start in Leviticus 23, verse 2. And we're going to read probably 2, 3, and 4, okay?
Okay.
So, if you have your Bibles out there, I hope you'll turn and read along. In Leviticus 23, verse 2, it says, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." And I'm going to back up right now and tell you that I looked up the word feast, and in this verse it is moed, and it means appointments.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't understand why they just didn't use the word appointments. Because it would help understand what's going on here. And the word for convocation is mikra, which means rehearsal with a gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's just read that again with the proper words, okay, in English.
Okay.
Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the appointments of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy rehearsals, these are my appointments.
Now, why? Most Bibles don't read that way. Why?
No,
don't?
Most don't. But you know what? That's why we have to study.
Hey, if your Bible reads appointments, and you, if it has that word in there, keep that Bible. That's a good one.
That's right. Sometimes the newer versions would say that.
Yeah.
But again, God wants us to search the Scriptures. You know, it's up to Kings to search out the matter.
Right.
And that's called studying, and we get filled more of the Holy Spirit and more of Jesus the more we're in our Word. So He doesn't make it that easy. You know, we have to kind of pick it apart.
How often in the translation, Bible translation that you use, how often do you run across this thing called looking up or translation of a word, of two different words using the same word?
Oh,
does that happen a lot? Okay.
Yeah, often. Okay. And it's not until verse 6, which we're not going to read today. But it also used the word feast. But if I hadn't looked it up, I would have thought it meant appointment. And in that case, it was hag, and it means cycle or circle, which is what the feasts are all about. Everything goes in a circle. The earth is a circle. Heaven is a circle. The wheels of God's throne is in a circle. And everything repeats itself.
Okay, well, don't get discouraged if you're studying at home and you're reading the Bible and it seems redundant with the word feasts. It's not the word feasts.
No, right. But in some cases, of course, it is a festival.
Well, some, yes.
You know, it's celebration
right. And
all that. But basically, these are God's rehearsals, and it's because it pictures the Messiah to come. And he told them if they did not rehearse these every year, judgment would come upon them. So that it was mandatory that they did this. And, of course, God had a purpose, because one day he would send the Messiah to fulfill these exact to the moment of time, even in some cases,
yes,
of these festivals. Now, in verse 3, it says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of solemn rest. Again, a holy rehearsal. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. And, of course, this was a picture of Jesus coming and fulfilling the Sabbath, because he is the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So that was great. But it goes on now in verse 4, and it says, these are the appointments of the Lord, holy rehearsals, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. So it was very important that these appointments be kept at the appointed times.
Well, that, you would think
he's
so.
He's a date setter.
Yes,
God
he is.
A date setter.
So if you make an appointment with the dentist and he tells you it's for Tuesday at 2:00 and you show up on Wednesday at 3, and you shouldn't be surprised that he's not there. I think God wants us to keep his appointments.
That's right. God is a God of appointments.
Yes, he is.
And the root word for appointed is moed, and that means a fixed set time specified by God. And I like the way in Galatians 4:4 it says, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. At the appointed time. I believe everything has an appointment, and I believe his second coming is definitely going to be from an appointment.
Oh,
already
yes.
Made.
Already made.
And we're going to maybe touch on that today, although we're going to concentrate on the ones he's already fulfilled.
That's definitely going to go better for you at the dentist if you make your appointment time. Because then what will need to be fulfilled will be fulfilled or filled as if it were a cavity or something. Now, why was it mandatory condition that the Jews be required to go to Jerusalem for the festivals? Now,
well,
we've read that before.
Obviously, for the main reason that they would all be there and see how Jesus fulfills them, how he's there.
He wanted them there to be there for his first coming. Like
that's right.
Yes, okay.
They were all there.
So who knows when the whole country of Israel starts keeping these commandments. I wonder what appointments are going to be filled.
Yeah.
Ah.
Well, yes, we sure know that.
Yeah.
Okay, the Feast of the Lord. I just want to go over the feast real quickly, okay, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on that necessarily, but I think it's important that we mention it. First, we have the Feast of Passover, and, of course, there's an historical aspect to every single feast, okay? Historical is that, of course, it was Israel's deliverance out of the Egyptian bondage. That was the first Passover. When they have the Passover Seder meal, that's what they celebrate, that they were taken out of the bondage of Egypt. Okay? Now, what's interesting is that we're going to see that Jesus' death on the cross was exactly the same day that they killed the lamb in Egypt before they left.
Oh.
Nisan 14.
Sounds like an appointment to me.
It's definitely an appointment. Now, they happened to leave Egypt after sundown, now the 15th of Nisan, which is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, basically because they didn't have time to have their bread turn, you know, leavened or raised.
Or to raise, yes.
And that's when they actually went out of Egypt. Now, how do you think Jesus fulfilled this feast exactly?
The Feast of Unleavened Bread?
Yes.
I would have to say he was the unleavened bread, right?
He certainly was. And what happened to him?
Well, he was crucified.
Yeah, well, that was on Passover.
Okay.
He was actually put into the grave on the Feast of Unleavened
buried.
Bread.
He was buried on...
You betcha.
Okay.
Okay. And he buried our sins with him.
Yes.
With God, which leaven is always a picture of sin.
Sin.
Okay, and that's why it was unleavened. He didn't want it to leaven.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. And during Passover, of course, every year they do not eat leavened bread for a week. It's mandatory. It's a picture of Jesus being unleavened.
They're not even supposed to have it in their house.
Yeah, exactly. All right, now, 2 days later, we have the Feast of First Fruits, Nisan 17. And historically speaking, that is the day that they actually crossed through the Red Sea.
Okay.
Yeah. So how did Jesus fulfill that?
Well, this is the great one. This is where he was arose from the dead.
That's right.
Yes, he was raised. He was right out of the earth.
Yeah, destroying the enemy with his resurrection.
Right.
Which is exactly what happened when the Jews went through the Red Sea. Their enemies were destroyed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's so neat. So then quickly in the spring, in the summertime, we have Pentecost. That's 50 days later, and that's when they received the Torah. And, of course, that's also the day the church received the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we've got three fall feasts that basically haven't been filled yet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Feast of Rosh Hashanah, which is the blowing of the shofar, the Feast of Trumpets. It's actually the Jewish New Year when the creation of the world. So, in mm-hmm. a way, it's got a historical application.
Right.
And I believe that at some point in the future, probably in the 6,000 years, which we don't know when that is, we know we're close, and that will be the resurrection of the dead.
Yes.
And by the way, John, if you happen to be alive at that resurrection, you're going to go too.
Yeah, you won't have to die first.
That's right. All right, and then we have 10 days later, the Feast of Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, where all eyes will see him face to face, and this is when the priest historically would enter the Holy of Holies, only one day a year on the Feast of Yom Kippur,
mm-hmm.
to see God face to face, or
as much as
you can face to face. It was also the cleansing of people's sins with the two goats. But how did Jesus fulfill that? He hasn't yet.
Uh-huh.
You know, partially
right.
spiritually, of course, for us that believe. But I believe that he will actually return on a Yom Kippur, and all eyes will see him face to face.
Yes.
And that will be the fulfillment of that. So Rosh Hashanah will be the fulfillment possibly of the rapture, resurrection, okay,
mm-hmm.
Feast of Trumpets, when they blow the trumpet. It all fits.
It does.
And then 5 days after Yom Kippur is the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, and that, I believe, has a definite double fulfillment. First of all, it's the picture of entering into the Promised Land, great rejoicing, but it's also a picture of the Millennial Kingdom. And 5 days later, Jesus will enter into that Millennial Kingdom with us on earth. And I believe also he was actually born during the Feast of Tabernacles.
I do too as well.
Yeah. We have a lot of reasons that we've already talked about on this show.
Yeah.
So that's a quick overview of the seven feasts of the Lord. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to pick apart the Feast of Passover.
Okay. And stay with us on that. The lines will be open when we come back, too. So if you have a question, particularly on end times eschatology or the subject of Passover, please call us at 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Since we cover such a big area on radio, we both would like to visit you at your church for an evening of messianic worship and a timely message. So tell your pastor, ask him to give us a call, 440-834-9006. And I'd also like to add that Shofar Ministries is non-denominational And we're a 501c3, so all your gifts are tax deductible, and donations are really needed to stay on the air. So really, folks, if you like this forum with solid Bible teaching, please send your donations to P.O. Box 513 in Burton, Ohio. That's Box 513, Burton 44021. Or you can give and donate through shofarministries.net and use PayPal.
And let me just interject to that. We really do need your help out there. So if you know anyone that would like to advertise, if you know a business out there, a Christian business especially, we give good rates, and it will really help to pay for this airtime.
Amen, amen. And once again, those numbers for your end time questions, 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD, W-O-R-D. And stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a short break and a song featuring yours truly, J.D. Bartlett here, called Sparrow. So listen to the words.
You do well, John, on
this. Thank you. Shalom, radio listeners. Are you looking for another career? Could the Lord be leading you into a new field in a happy and safe environment with people who really appreciate and are thankful for what you do? Well, if you are pleasant and like children and newborns, Alexandria's Training School is looking for people of all ages to be certified in this in-demand child care industry. Call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. Or, if you need nanny care for your precious little ones, the number's the same, 440-781-7531. And tell Carolyn you heard about this opportunity on WHKWradio.com.
Okay, so let me ask you, how many times have you ever been asked if you knew a good Christian attorney? Well, now you have an answer. A legal representative for over 35 years, Dennis Kastelek of Chardon, Ohio, has a great reputation for honesty and integrity and is now a sponsor of the Shofar Ministries Hour. So if you still need to get that will, need financial counseling, or any legal matter, give Dennis a call at 440-285-3511. That's 440-285-3511.
There's one born every minute. This quote attributed to P.T. Barnum refers to the fact that there are a lot of gullible people in the world. Unfortunately, the majority of the mattress industry has tried to exploit this. Manufacturers, for instance, come up with different names for the same products at different stores and tout features that have no true benefit to the consumer. Retailers typically offer sales gimmicks such as free in-home trials, free frames, free delivery, and 50% off sales to entice you. In some cities, a few advertisements even offer free groceries, televisions, or gift cards with a mattress purchase. Are we really that gullible? This is Ron Trzezinski at the Original Mattress Factory. We prefer to stick to the facts. We build our products right and build them to last. No cutting corners or components. We offer real value created by manufacturing our own products and selling direct to the consumer, eliminating middleman markups and truly saving you money. The Original Mattress Factory, 4930 State Road, right at the 480 ramp.
Do you know if you qualify for the credit card bailout program? If your credit card debt is out of control, there's powerful information you need to know about the new Credit Card Reform Act. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe, with monthly payments you can afford. Credit card companies have been given billions and need to clean their books once and for all, and that's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with payment plans customized for you. It's yours free by calling 1-800-200-6557. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and learn how we have saved our clients millions. Live better, debt-free. For free information on how to settle your credit card debt in the government bailout era, call 1-800-200-6557. That's 1-800-200-6557. 1-800-200-6557. Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
Keep me in all of your paths, Lord.
and make your ways known to me. Keep me as close as the dew is to the grass, as the sand is to the sea. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Make me as one of your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray. And I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and that song was sung by our own John Bartlett, and I just have to tell you, I love that.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome, John, and I'm telling you, if people are listening and you would like us to come out, he would do the worship. You can see he's got a great voice. And we'll come out to your church and teach them Hebraic roots and talk about the end times and what's going on in the world. And
get you up to speed.
Amen.
We'll help to get you off the milk and onto the, at least onto the hamburger. And
yeah, exactly.
We don't know about the steak yet.
But I just want to stir you up, though. Yeah. Study your word. Get in there and just enjoy it.
Yes.
You know? And we have a caller on the line that has a question for us, and her name is Danielle. And Danielle, where are you from?
I'm from Cleveland.
Okay, hold on. Let me turn you up.
We can't hear you too well. We're going to try to get you. Danielle,
in the name of Jehovah the Father, be blessed in the name of Jesus.
Thank you. What's your question, Danielle?
Well, I have a few questions. One of them has to do with the Sabbath.
Okay.
And it's my understanding that the moral law that the Ten Commandments was given on a stone tablet, and the law of ordinances were written on parchment. And so we still keep the Ten Commandments, like thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not make graven images, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sabbath is in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also aware that in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, it prophesies that in Isaiah 66:22-23, that the Sabbath will be kept in the new kingdom. And also the Jesus disciples faithfully kept the Sabbath, not Sunday.
Right.
And when Mary and Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, went to get Jesus' body, they waited until the Sabbath was over.
Yes, of course. They were still following that.
Right. But then Paul kept the Sabbath. There's several instances cited in the book of Acts where they kept the Sabbath. There's no indication that it was otherwise. And to go ahead and presumptuously change that day where God hasn't commanded it specifically so seems to me to be a grave error.
Well, and that's fine for your beliefs, and I respect that. In fact, there's a lot of people that feel that way. I happen to believe that Jesus became the Sabbath for us, and if he lives inside of us, then every day is a Sabbath.
Right,
but
you're, I believe
you feel,
that too.
Feel but... free to believe that. That's not a problem. I mean, you can worship any day you'd really prefer. I don't have a problem with that.
Is the Sabbath still under, I mean, it seems like if it's going to be a perpetual decree and kept in the new kingdom, that we should be under it now as well. Are we to observe a special day of the week for worship? Because a lot of Christians believe, yes, that's so, but it's Sunday, which is a Roman, it came from Constantine.
It's a celebration of,
right. Yeah, that's all true.
It's a celebration of Jesus's rising from the dead. But again, I believe that every day is a Sabbath and we should worship every single day.
Well,
I don't.
It isn't about what we believe. It's what does the Bible say? This is can't use sophistry. We
right, again.
Willy-nilly. This is the problem with the churches.
Danielle, let me talk, sweetie. I want to tell you what I feel. I feel the Bible teaches that Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath.
Okay,
that's what I believe he says. Now, we will be doing it again in the new kingdom, but not the bride or the queen. Okay, it'll be the people that are there still, human beings that will abide by this, because it's a picture of who Christ is. It still boils down...
But did the apostles in the book of Acts, did they or did they not keep the Sabbath?
I think they did both. I think they worshipped on Sunday. They broke bread on Sunday. And
but
I think
is there
any
scripture that you could indicate where that's the case?
Well, not off the top of my head. I'm not that
because
good.
There isn't. It's not scriptural.
Yeah. Well, again, I believe that Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath, and that's my belief. But that's okay. I mean, you can believe whatever you want.
It says in the book of Daniel that in the end times that the Antichrist would attempt to change times and law, one of those being the Sabbath.
That's possible, yeah.
Possible, yeah.
And so...
I'm with you, Danielle. If you want to keep... If you feel like you want to keep the Sabbath, keep the Sabbath.
Sure, absolutely. Do whatever you want.
And
that's the freedom we have in Christ.
That's the great freedom we have. In order to do that, the Sabbath is never going to change. It's always going to be this.
Be
it's always going to be this.
Which is why Shofar meets on Saturday night. It's
That's why we do.
Well, God bless you. And, you know, I don't believe that, you know, for instance, I'm going to go to the store in a little while to get some groceries because I need to get some groceries, and I don't feel that that's a serious, egregious thing.
I wouldn't either.
No, but if you were under the law, they did.
Yeah.
You could even turn on a light switch.
And protest and informal protest, too, because of all of the blatant apostasy that is going on in the churches in a form of protest, and also because I know I need to set aside for myself one day of the week to get
And that's
grounded.
Good for you, sure.
And I believe that God gave us that Sabbath day. You know, you were talking about how God has everything in cycles, and for some reason that's a particularly beneficial day of the week for to consider the God of Israel and his commandments.
Sure, and that's fine.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I mean, I don't have anything against it. I just know for me, I am grateful because I have freedom in Christ totally, and I respect the Sabbath, and we pray and we meet on the Sabbath. That's one of the reasons we're doing the show on the Sabbath for the Bible study. I mean, I understand all that, but I do know that Christ fulfilled the Sabbath, and through him, that's, you know, that's what I believe. But
what about now? Another issue. Now, I pretty much stay away out of a lot of most churches at this point because there's a lot of pagan traditions that have been handed down through the Roman Church.
Sure.
That are very upsetting to me, and Christmas is being one of those. It's nothing more, what I can see, than a pagan celebration of idolatry, gross idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, could I say something about that? when Constantine, we go back to the time of Constantine, and a lot of our listeners, I hope you can just bear with me on this.
Yes,
they did change. The December 25th date is a winter solstice, and it was a pagan holiday, but they had just changed the laws of the whole Roman Empire and made Christianity legal. And in order to run the empire smoothly, they needed everybody on the same page. So they said, since they wanted Christianity was legal, it would just made sense for them at the time to call that Jesus' birthday. And they probably knew that it wasn't. But in order to get the pagans and the Christians functioning together instead of being at odds with each other and to keep their empire together, that was the move they made for that. I don't believe Constantine ever really believed that was his birthday, or the early church leaders did. And I don't think it was a move towards paganism in so much as it was a move to get the people of the whole Roman Empire to get along with each other, because it was a big empire.
It's a move to surreptitiously apostatize. Constantine was a sun worshiper. He worshiped the god Tammuz, the sun god, or Adonis,
mm-hmm.
or Baal.
And there's also historians that say he got saved. So, you know, there's the truth probably lies somewhere in between.
Well, you know, Jesus said, beware, there's going to be false teachers entering in among you, but you will know them by the fruits that they bear.
Right.
And now one of the problems we have here, when you go back to ancient Israel, if you've read the books of Kings and Chronicles, I especially love the book of 2 Kings chapter 17, because it encapsulates the whole dilemma of mixing idolatry and true worship. And you go to the very last verse, and it even encapsulates that chapter. It says 17, verse 41 of 2 Kings. So these nations feared the Lord Jehovah, and they served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers. So do they unto this day. And this is the same issue in the Christian church.
Well, we appreciate that, Danielle.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to, again, finish with saying that I believe that Jesus came to fulfill all the appointments and that we have freedom through him. And if you believe that Christmas is a pagan holiday, which it is, basically. Still in all, you know, we've got to remember that it's during the Christmas season. Most people don't know that. And are we going to step aside and say, oh, you're going to go to hell for doing this, you know, recognizing Jesus' birthday on this day, when every day is his birthday, just like every day is a Sabbath? You know, we get hung up in this legalism thing, and instead take the holiday back for Christ. You know, on that tree, put Jesus' name all over, because he died on a tree. Change it. Take it back from the enemy and instead utilize it for witnessing to people during this time. Because I'll tell you what, people's hearts are softened during the Christmas season. God uses everything. He can turn everything around. And instead of sitting back with your hands in front of you and saying, well, I'm not even going to go out and I'm not going to do anything and I'm not going to my family because they celebrated the wrong day, that, I believe, is an error, because you need to go in love and say, this is Jesus' birth as far as we know, or they know. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with him, because he was born, and then he died on the cross, which is what we'll be talking about.
In other words, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
No, use it. Turn it around. Take it back from the devil.
Right.
And use it wisely. That's what God would want us to do. So I appreciate you, Danielle, for calling in.
And what a Bible studier you must be.
You must be, and praise God for that, because we need more people like that. But be careful that you don't stay in the legalism. And you know what? I don't think she is, because she's going to the store today. And one thing, as far as the Sabbath goes in the Old Testament, you could do nothing.
No. Well, that's no buying, no selling, no writing.
Praise God. I'm so glad that we have him in that.
But if you want, if you want to keep the Sabbath, more power
to
you.
Absolutely. I don't have a problem with that.
God bless you.
Sunday, too.
And Sunday.
But I actually do believe that we should be talking to the Lord every day of the week and celebrating his birth, his death, his resurrection, every single day.
Well, yeah, too.
You know, for sure. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to go, and we're going to talk about Passover. But first, before Passover, we need to mention about the 4 days beforehand.
Those are important. Important happens the fourth day.
That's right. In fact, it's interesting that even prophecy predicts in Daniel the exact day that Jesus would ride in on a donkey. Did you know that, John? Yeah,
that's right.
Yes, and he fulfilled that right to
the day. He kept that appointment.
On Nisan 10.
That's right.
Okay. And let's take a closer look on that. It talks about it in Exodus 12, 1 through 3, because, of course, there's an historical application to this also. Okay?
Right.
It says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt." They're still in Egypt, saying, "This month shall be the beginning of months." Now, this month just happened to be the month of Nisan.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Now this month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Now, there's an important application here, because what is really the first month prior to this?
Well, it would be Tishrei.
Of course it was.
That would be Tishrei. But he's speaking to Moses and Aaron, who are Levites, and mm-hmm. to you,
Nisan.
To you Levites, this is the real first month.
Right.
Nisan.
And that's because it's their spiritual
yes.
month.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, you know, John, you were born in June. But when were you spiritually reborn?
I wish I could remember, but I think it was in
Most
February.
People don't, but some do, but it doesn't matter. God does.
But it was, my spiritual birth.
That's more important.
That's why, well, I know it was yeah. more important. If it didn't happen to me when I was young, when I was 16 years old,
yes.
I thought God had made a mistake because I wasn't ready for it and I didn't live a very holy life. But looking back, I realized that if I had not gotten saved at that age, I would have never have gotten saved.
Right.
Because I'm by nature an agnostic. I am.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're not anymore.
Me
anyway.
Too. I'm glad I'm saved.
Yeah, I am too. But basically what I'm trying to say is that they have two calendars.
Yes.
They have their civil calendar, which begins with Tishrei, because Tishrei is still always the beginning of the year. Okay.
Right.
And they'll always celebrate that in memorial of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, that's in Tishrei.
Yes.
But now Nisan, which is actually the seventh month on the civil calendar, is now changed to the first month. And all the months are back to follow Nisan. So from Exodus 12, and this is why I'm bringing this up, because it's very important to know. From Exodus 12 on, anytime you see first month, second month, third month, you're going by the biblical, religious, spiritual calendar.
Where Nisan is the first month.
Is the first month, right.
Before Exodus 12?
Then it's always the civil calendar beginning with Tishrei.
Okay.
And it'll help you for you deep studiers now. I know a lot of you aren't, but those that are, if you want to know what time of season it was when you're reading something and it tells you what month it is, you need to know which calendar.
Yes, because you'll see a lot of passages that begin in the third month on the 10th day and mm-hmm. things like that. And now you know. And that's significant why God puts those dates in there.
Especially like the example when they went back to build the temple in Ezra. Okay, it says on the seventh month, on the first day, they started their sacrifices on the altar. The temple hadn't even been built yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you didn't know your calendar, you wouldn't know that was now Tishrei.
That was
Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah, yes. And that has some figures into the context, and
that figures into the message of the future, because it's a typology.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I believe with my whole heart and soul that the resurrection will probably take place on a Rosh Hashanah, and immediately when we're gone, they will start their sacrifices on an altar without the temple being built, just as a typology of what they did in the book of Ezra.
I think they will, too.
Yeah, I think they will, too. So, oh my gosh, we're running out of time, so I'm going to try to get in a few more things here. I want to mention that if you would like to have a calendar, a small size, to tape on the back side of your Bible, which is where I keep mine,
mm-hmm.
just send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, P.O. Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021, and I will send you one. And that will have both calendars in there, and you'll be able to check it when you're reading your Bible.
It would be a handy reference for you if you don't have one in your Bible.
That's right. Okay, going on in Exodus 12, I just want to finish this verse anyway. It says, verse 3, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household." In other words, if you have a small household, you take a small lamb. If you have a bigger household, you take a bigger lamb, because nothing was supposed to be left
uneaten.
Uneaten. Thank
right.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always on the 10th day of the month, which would have been Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday.
When Jesus actually was hailed king by some, And he actually followed the parade of them choosing the lamb that they were going to slay in the temple.
And this was would this have been the lamb for the all the people that they slay? And this is the major lamb.
This is the major lamb.
Right.
Not the
but
one
each household had a lamb, too.
Yes, true. Good. Thank you for pointing that out. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is that they were to keep this lamb in the household and examine it for 4 days.
Why? Because they had to find out if the lamb was pure, if it
That's
was
right.
Without spot or blemish.
And kosher.
And kosher. It had to be.
I just threw that in there.
Well, if it wasn't kosher, it'd be bad. So,
yes,
you know.
Right. Yes. So well, here's the point, and then we got to close. They examined it for 4 days and found out that there was no blemish in it. Jesus, after he followed the lamb's parade, went to the temple. They examined him for 4 days. And Pilate finished off by saying, I find no blemish in him. Same thing.
Same thing.
And next week we're going to continue on with this and see how, even to the exact moment, his side was pierced at the time they slay the lamb. It's pretty amazing. Don't want to miss the next show.
Next show. What a picture. Now, do you have a question for Sheila, or if you would like her to speak at your church or home group, hey, I'll come along too. Just email her at Sheila, that's S-H-E-I-L-A, at shofarministries.net. And any and all donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a partner in this endeavor. Use PayPal or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. All donations automatically will put you on the monthly newsletter, which is full of these gold nuggets and current events of these last days here and in Israel. And why not check out the webpage? Okay. Newsletters and previous radio shows are archived there, thanks to Lou Buckles. And he can help you out with your own website if you'd like at sunfishdesign.com. And a great study for beginners, especially now on DVD, Hebraic Roots 101, Parts 1 and 2, The Spring Feasts, available.
Really, you need to do
and
that.
And you need to do this. And now you can, they're available on the webpage as well as shofarministries.net, or just call Sheila at 440-834-9006.
Yeah, now, give me a call. I'd love to hear from you.
We'd love to hear from you. The Hebrew Roots 101, Parts 1 and 2, is essential to have in your library so you can understand what we are talking about. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to leave you all with the Aaronic blessing for the week. And I've got my hands lifted. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Till next week, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. That's Psalm 122:6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall, not maybe, shall prosper.
Shalom. See you next week.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the Internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, sheila@shofarministries.net. That's sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.